Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 18th of March, recording at 9:58 p.m. British Standard Time. Now, I've got a lot to run through here, and I don't want to make this audio too long, hopefully, so I'll try to go quite quickly. But one of the first things I'll say is, please bring up the website if you want to look at that chart review, because there are some quite interesting currency charts there, and I know a number of you people are interested in that. And so I will cover those with you. Now, the first thing I'm going to mention is a new trade here, one that I wouldn't have expected I'd be making or have the opportunity to make necessarily a few days ago. But it's Euro Yen, an old favorite of mine. And I have often purchased Euro Yen when it's been oversold and near prior support, or I should say when I have purchased Euro Yen when it has been oversold near prior support, I've made money. If I've paid up for it on occasion, which I've done, then it's been just as easy to lose money. But today it dropped down this morning to around 131, actually got down to 130.79. And when I saw it, I bought it about 130.20. That's the spot price. Now, unfortunately, it's higher here right now. It's over a yen higher. It's at 132.33. That's worked in my favor, but I'd be happier if it were right where I had picked it up when I mentioned it to you, when I'm first able to mention that to you. And I like to leak these things in advance if I possibly can, but it was a surprise opportunity, and I grabbed it. Now, it's a risky trade because these are choppy markets in here, so I certainly haven't gone overboard, but I'd be surprised if we didn't see a bit more of a bounce from here. And the chart was just near support when I picked it up, and now it looks quite reasonable with a tail that's been established in here today on the candle. Okay, you will be able to see that when I do that chart review. But next, in case some of you are still bringing the site up, I mention what I'm going to purchase tomorrow almost certainly. I expect to open a long in crude oil futures. Now, the oil market has lagged way behind. I've discussed it on a number of occasions. You might have seen the charts that I put up. I think it was either earlier this week or last week, showing that gasoline was up near some prior resistance, but it did have a good buildup of support. We've also got a backwardation here. It's quite a persistent backwardation, meaning that there's a shortage of refined gasoline in, crude oil in the markets. So I'm going to take an initial position in that. I think I just mentioned that it had been lagging way behind the metals, and I certainly don't expect it to see anything like the price performance that we have seen in the metals and soybeans and corn and so on. I mean, it couldn't possibly do that because it would throw the world into a depression long before it registered those sorts of gains. So what would happen? The price would go up and supply would increase and consumption would drop away. But certainly it looks like it could move a bit higher. Now, that will have ramifications if it does. But first, let me run through the rest of these petroleum charts, which I'll try to post tomorrow. I may also buy gasoline as well. Gasoline also has a backwardation. As a matter of fact, all the main ones do. So do heating oil and gas oil. But the charts for crude oil and gasoline, in my opinion, are a little bit better, particularly on the long-term chart. So those are my two candidates. I'll almost certainly, as I say, go for at least one of them tomorrow. Now, the ramifications that I should mention in here is that higher oil prices, first, that will be immediately recognized as an inflationary pressure, so bond markets wouldn't like that. Then people also say, well, look, this could slow growth in here, and therefore the stock market wouldn't like it all that much, except for the oil sector. And I have discussed oil funds, and I did them again in today's oil share funds in today's earlier audio. So now I brought up my website to look at these charts. First, I'm bringing up dollar yen. And you can see this has fallen back very, very rapidly in the last few days, and today that caused Vice Finance Minister in Japan, Masakazu Hayashi, to say that the gain was too rapid and that they wouldn't hesitate to take action. Well, they're certainly going to need to do that, and I think I have indicated that in earlier audios as this has been tumbling in here over the last 3 or 4 days. So it'd be surprising if we didn't see some steadying down there, but I'm not going to play this one. So let's go on to the next chart and bring up Euro-Yen. And you can see this has fallen right down to that late January, early February low. It is overextended in the short term. And it is, again, you can also see the tail on this chart. So it has bounced in here today from that low. Now, I have to confess, if I look at the point and figure chart, the long-term historic data chart, and I'll start posting some of those before too long again, because subscribers do like them, and I like them. But I frighten myself when I look at the long-term chart. So I regard this as a speculative trade, and I'm only interested in the bounce. Okay, the next one is Euro-Dollar. And I've been waxing and waning on this one. Now, are we, as like I said, that one day it looked like it was going to go down a little bit, and the next day it looks like it's going to go up a little bit. And you can see if the range had been narrowing until today, we had this little sort of symmetrical triangular shape in here. And it had quite a good day. The euro did rally in here, but it's underneath that those two lows from January, and that occurred in January. And as I've said before, it really needs to push up above 125, I think, before it would start to encourage people that we could see a test of the highs. Now, this is very tricky. I know a lot of people are interested in this. I've got one or two subscribers who are exclusively interested in this for some reason. And it's tough. It was easy when the key day reversal occurred, and we had two of them, and that last one was a biggie. You can see that right up at the top, that we were going to get a correction in here. Sometimes these corrections, medium-term corrections, can last for a number of months, so it isn't impossible that we could see the euro move up a bit and then come off a little bit again as well. News developments that could be factors. Well, I don't think we're going to hear much from the ECB at these levels, but if it starts to push much above the 125, 126 level, then we might well hear from them once again. Also, there's the story that I posted on the website about the possible capture of a major Al-Qaeda operative in Pakistan, and that would be good for a pop in stock markets on the upside, as I mentioned, if that if they get him, and they will get him at some stage. And additionally, that would also have a tendency to firm the dollar a little bit in here. So it's a little bit tricky. And I didn't want to play the euro dollar, and I didn't want to play the dollar yen. Although if I did anything in here, I'd start buying the dollars against the yen. But I'm not going to do that. So euro yen is my trade. Okay, and I will just also have a quick look at the soybeans and corn. So soybeans are coming up. They had a good day in here, and they actually closed a little bit better than that. They closed at 10.18, so broken through that psychological $10 level, although it's not a definitive break, and we've been up, what do we got here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days in a row here. Now, my trailing stop here is, gosh, I can't remember where it is, but the midpoint danger line is right around this sort of 939.40 level. I've probably got it right around there. If you look at this and you look at the previous reactions, this has been quite a consistent trend, but it's not unusual for it to see 60-cent reactions, 50 to 60-cent reactions. So that's sort of normal for soybeans, and therefore I really, if I'm going to have a sensible stop policy, and I didn't earlier on in that trading range, it was too tight, but I've gone over all that, so I need to review it, but I really need to allow for, say, Well, ideally, it would be about a 70 cent trailing stop. And actually, even that might have been hit in that last little reaction. Now, this is a weather punt, as I've mentioned. If the weather improves, then, or if the dollar were to rally sharply, this could easily get another shakeout. You can see that little key day reversal that we had in the beginning of March. That's what caused the problems for me earlier on. And but at this stage, we've broken clear of this prior trading range. It's beginning to get a little bit overbought once again, but we've got a big backwardation in here, so I'm holding on. I'm going to try not to crowd the position. The best news would, of course, be straight upwards acceleration, then jam the stop up quite a bit. Okay, enough on that. But you can see why I like to go where the action is before I move away from this chart. I've mentioned this in the, I mentioned this repeatedly in here. When you get trends like this, it's one whole heck of a lot easier to make money than it is in a very choppy environment. Currencies have been quite choppy recently. Bond markets have been certainly much more choppy than soybeans, as of stock markets. So the stock markets moved like this last year. So I'm not clever enough to make money in these choppy whipsaw markets, and the risk-reward ratio is just unacceptable in my view, more often than not. And therefore, I like to go where I can find the trends. As I've said on so many occasions, the markets are man-made resources for us to harvest when the timing's right. Well, let's look at another one. And to harvest here, corn, a little bit more choppy than the soybeans because it hasn't been as strong a move, but it's been orderly recently. And the South African corn crop appears to be in trouble, and they're a big exporter. In here, I'm giving this a little bit more leeway. Well, I think my stop's up at around 297 in here right now. Okay, enough on all that. What actually happened in here today? Asian markets, a bit of a mixed bag. Really, Hong Kong, Hang Seng down, Japan up a little bit. Again, it's been very, 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 very firm recently, and amazingly so, given the strength that we've seen in the yen recently. The only way I could explain that would be to say, conclude that American international investors have gone in and bought Japan really quite heavily. I doubt the locals would be buying aggressively against the background of the yen strengthening. But American investors, while the dollar was stronger against the yen, had a chance to get a little bit more bang for their buck, as it were. In terms of some of the other markets, now Malaysia, that was really quite good. That hit another new high that's been very firm. That's been the relative strength leader recently. Just look at that Malaysian fund, which I need to switch out of and get into the iShare fund. Well, that really did power ahead in here today. Well, a little bit of hyperbole there. 672 up 28 cents, but that looks a lot better on the chart than it did 3 days ago. Okay, European markets were some heavy profit taking in here today. So this is such a choppy environment in here today. We had some quite big losses, a number of them getting close to 2% and over 1.5%, and clearly the average. Now, I looked at some of the stocks that I've actually holding, which have been sort of indifferent performers in here recently, but have done reasonably well. All those little high-yielding Peter Bennett stocks, things in the UK, things like the Finner and the Clinton Cards and the Croda, were all up in here today. I'd be delighted to have the move up a little higher. Finner's probably the best of the lot, and that's the highest yielder of those. It has been the steadiest recently, although not doing a great deal. But I'm in mentioning those, I would not be adding to positions in here. I'm just hoping they get a bit further strength as well. They might, being high yielders, in which case I'll be delighted to take the profits, and I hope I don't hold out for too much. Wall Street was soft earlier today, but then closed with only small losses, and that was on the news that perhaps they were going to catch the big Al Qaeda number two, Al Zerawahi, or however you pronounce his name. In other markets, I've already covered the currencies with you. Sterling, bit steadier in here. So let me go on to, I've covered the soybeans and the corn, so metals. Palladium, now that's really very steady. That pushed back up again, got up to 285, 284. It had been as low as 268. So it had a soft day yesterday and started out weak in here today, but then rebounded really quite strongly, and just looks very good as do most of the metal charts. So I'll be surprised if this doesn't go higher here before long. Just looks like a little consolidation following the burst up out of that first step above the base that I'd been talking about previously. They're all firm now. Silver had a cracking strong day here. I'm disappointed not to be long there. 745, it just absolutely surged. And gold, pretty good day in here, 411.35. Now, something I really should mention to you, I was astonished to see gold bullion securities. That's supposed to be like a tracker fund. That's the paper gold, which is listed in London. I think it's GBSA space LN is the code for that. But something's gone wrong in terms of good news if you actually own the thing, because it leapt way up to quite a substantial premium over the bullion price. I've got a chart of that here somewhere. I just can't remember the level, but it, so that's up over take a decimal point up over it. So it closed at 43.27. So that's 432, nearly $433 against a gold bullion price at 411.35. I can't imagine what's going on here, although I think HSBC monitors this, and by monitoring it, I think they're the dealers. I think I've got that right. And the HSBC share was quite weak in here today, down 18 pence. And it looks like, well, this is starting to trade now like a closed-end fund, and it's not supposed to be, because when people come in and buy the gold bullion securities, then HSBC and whoever else is involved, if anyone else is involved, and then go out and pick up the gold. So, is there a shortage of available metal? I find that awfully surprising, since we have these big gold bullion markets here in the UK, and spot gold's always being traded. And if it wasn't available, it could be borrowed. But that's an extraordinary move, and as I say, good in the short term for those of us who own it, although I wouldn't expect it to last, and I might have a look at that tomorrow. I didn't see it until after the close today, because I hadn't looked at it. I haven't been in the habit of looking at it all that often since gold's been quite quiet. But I may want to take the profit on there. I'm not going to try to arbitrage the thing, although somebody will certainly be thinking about doing that. And just some of these other metals, I just bring up my metals page in here. I mean, they've been exceptionally strong. To my dismay, that nickel has picked up again. Tin, well, just too bad. It's up 8 days in a row, up another 215 today. It's starting to accelerate. So I said before I wasn't going to chase it. You need, say, you need a little bit of luck in these markets on the trend running. And while it was quite an orderly trend, I was giving it very, very little breathing space, as you know, back a couple of weeks ago. And when that dollar rally occurred, the second leg of the dollar rally, I just got stopped out of that and on the zinc position. And basically, they're all firm, and but a little bit more choppy. Tin's been the in terms of patterns than they were earlier on, tin being the big exception that's been showing the best relative strength over the last month. Now, last but not least, here. Well, that's the main bulk of my comments. Except just two very minor asides. I was shocked when I went back onto the website and read my review of the Rheingold opera, the English National Opera, because it was such a badly written bit of copy. And I pride myself on at least writing a halfway decent copy, and I produced that a little bit in a little bit of a rush before leaving for a family dinner. So I rewrote the piece and reposted it there just for my own edification or satisfaction, if nothing else. And last but not least, Rusty Ashman, my colleague who listens to the audios, pointed out that when I'd had that, I think that 2 a.m. broadcast, when there were some teething problems on the new website, and the next day the people had said that there'd been a, I think I'd been told by someone in the IT department that there'd been a rush of buying in California, I beg your pardon, a rush of listening that had caused a temporary overload on the system. And I commented on that. But of course, as several people have pointed out, California is 8 hours behind us. So instead of saying good morning, California, or good morning, America, I should have been saying good evening. As I said to Rusty, they'll probably forgive me if I get the time zone wrong, as long as I get the timing right more often than not. And on that note, I'll wish you a very good evening.